No way, Jose.
The following footage proves beyond any doubt that the tanks intentionally set the house on fire. It proves that the Branch Davidians were murdered. You can see that this tank has a gas jet on the front that shoots fire. You can also see the fire quite plainly. The tank goes into the house twice, and each time as it backs out, the fire at the gas jets is plainly visible.
We must all do more to recognize and look for the early warning signals that deeply troubled young people send.
Hey guys, it's Jose Galison. You're watching No Way Jose. You can find us on No Way Jose YouTube channel, all the major audio podcatchers, and Rumble as well. Today my guest is Matt Reif. I'm just going to shoot the bull, get into his business, just kind of run through the gambit of topics. I do want to give a quick shout out to my Patreon sponsors, as I do every episode. It's patreon.com/NoWayJose2020 if you want to get this stuff early. For those who aren't aware, this stuff gets paywalled usually. I know I have my weekly live stream already dead that I do with Austin, but I also usually do kind of paywalled content one of the days too. And so it's released roughly a week or so early. So if you want to get that early content, the lowest level is $2. You need to be a patron. My highest level is my sponsors. I'll read them off every episode. That's Toad, my co-host on Tower Gang, at Tower Gang Toad. I have at Abrogate D's. Kevin B. Clark, a full-time guitarist and private music teacher in the New York area. Then at ZoveracK. Then at _infinitezeal. Then Jacob Daniel of the Biblical Anarchy podcast, at Biblical Anarchy. Then Tib Tuttle, at John Allen Klebold. Then at StinkySock420, singer of the band Bender, which is a metalcore band, which I dig metalcore big time. That's probably one of my favorite genres. So if you dig that too, go check that out. And all right, let's get into our, before we get into it, let's talk about our big dog sponsor. Swapped over to Nadeau Shave Co. Guys, I'm telling you, this is good shit. I've been using this probably something like 6 months now, because he started advertising for Tower Gang not too long ago. And yeah, I've probably only gone through a few razors in like 6 months. I don't shave daily, but I shave about like once a month, and then I edge up, and this stuff lasts as long as hell. So this is like really economical. This is like $75, will basically last you a whole year. And really, if it's me, that probably lasts me like 2 years. I mean, don't tell him that. I'm not, I'm trying to make some sales, but just saying, this is good stuff. This is a smooth shave too. So if you guys have ever got like a barber, got like a straight razor shave, it's legit like that. It's a safety razor. It's one blade. It really does help with shave bumps, stuff like that. Also, you guys know I had Andrew Nadeau on not too long ago. So this was born out of him getting booted out of the military for fighting the COVID regime as a medical provider there. So, support people doing good stuff like that. The NadeauShaveCo.com. Use Jose at checkout. Get 10% off your entire order. And let's get into the show. What's up, Matt? How you doing?
Hey, man. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, dude. I love you and all the Tower Gang people. Love you guys.
Yeah, you've. I always see you in the chat there. You're always cutting it up. It seems to be that's very much your vibe. It seems to be that kind of shit. So, I dig it. That's how I can tell you're one of our people. There's like crossover sometimes. I mean, there are some people that are like fans of like what I do on No Way Jose, but not fans of Tower Gang. But I'm gonna be real. When there's a crossover, I'm like, this is a real one. This is a real ass nigga, as they say, or whatever the fuck you want to say, a real ass dude. So it's good to have you on. I think I want to bring him on. Not too long ago, there was, obviously there's the, Matt Reif, everyone always likes to make jokes, I think the thumbnail for this is the pretty boy Matt Rife, the comedian. There was not too long ago.
You're putting this picture up as a thumbnail? Nice move. Nice move.
Okay, whatever. Throw him off. Confuse him. I don't give a shit. But, I mean, my audience will know I don't actually have Matt Rife on. I mean, I guess if Matt Rife fell in my lap as an interview, I'd do it. But it'd be like, it wouldn't really make sense for my show. But because, I mean, what am I going to interview a random ass comedian that makes comedy for like generic white women? And that's not even like, hey, whatever. He found his audience. Good for him.
But yeah, dude. Get that hustle. I keep on getting new comedians ready to open up for him because people think I'm him. And Sam Tripoli gave me this idea. So I'm like, yeah, I'll start doing that. I'm like, hey, you guys want to open up for me? Just meet me here at this club at such and such time. So I'm really trying to support Matt Rife in that way.
You need to start hooking up Tripoli and sending him his way. And then when he's like, what? And then he's essentially given this option with this comedian, like, especially if he knows him, he can look him up real quick. Be like, do I want to let him into my show or not? And you know what I mean? Like that kind of thing. Or be like, I don't know where you got this info from.
I'm scheduling them for a show that doesn't exist. I'm like, yeah, meet me here at such and such time. And hopefully they're there. I don't know. I haven't heard any feedback yet.
Well, I was getting like a show like for Sam. So whatever. Maybe he gets some opener acts. You never know. He might find a diamond in the rough and get somebody out of the blue. It's like, oh shit, this guy's actually good. Although let's be real. If they're hitting up your inbox begging for shit, then they're probably not that good. I don't know. That's my
experience. No, when they it's whenever they follow me on Twitter, I automatically fire back like, hey man, thanks for the follow. I've been listening to your stuff. I like it. You want to open up for me next week? So maybe I'll try to hit up Sam and open up for him. Now, like stand-up comedy, I've never done it, but I've always been interested in it. Mm-hmm. So I may try it at some point. I just don't like failure.
Yeah, I don't think I could do it. I mean, it's just not my style. We've been trying to, well, Top has been talking about it. We've been wanting to get somebody from Tower Gang for a while, someone to do stand-up. And I think Top's been kind of kicking the idea around because that'd be good. I just feel like, you know, we're already in the comedy world. It would only make sense for us to, one of us, start trying to do it a little bit. I don't know. You can leverage whatever Tower Gang fame, you know, quote unquote, to the comedy world, and might as well work that grift. Why not, you know? So
yeah, I feel bad. I'm kind of scared for stand-up comedy. I don't think it's going anywhere, but the big thing is we're turning into a remote society everywhere. Mm-hmm. It's like my entire business is based off of remote society, except for my office. I require people to be there. I want them at work. I want to see their faces and to be able to answer questions, even though I'm never there. So comedy, man, it'll probably turn into some kind of VR situation. Like I have people right now, there's a medical convention out in Dallas they want me to come speak at. And then I started talking to the guy and they're setting up an entire metaverse. So I don't know if you know about this, but a lot of people they're setting up for like your VR glasses. And they have a whole room set up and you walk around with the glasses on, you talk to these people, and it's growing big. I'm not ready to take that leap. I like to talk to people in person.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like a comedy. I mean, we were just riffing on this on Tower Gang actually last night. We were making fun of Toad because he's, you know, he just shows up to all sorts of events alone. And it's kind of sad, honestly. That's just his vibe. I don't know if he's just not able to get people to come with him or doesn't want to. He seems to be content with literally going to all sorts of events just alone. Basketball, comedy, music. I mean, I don't know. That's not for me. I'm more of a homebody. If I'm going to go to an event, it's because I have people going. Yep. Very rarely. I mean, every once in a great while. Like, if say there's a movie that comes out that I really want to watch. Like, Dune just came out recently. Like, I read all the Dune books. I actually brought my youngest with me because she was interested in it. I got her to watch the first one. But had she not, I would have gone alone. So like certain events, like stuff like that, I'm fine with going alone if it's something I really want to do. Something like comedy, I don't know. I guess like it's not that big of a deal if I watch it on Netflix or don't watch it at all. So like as opposed to leaving my house, it's gotta be people there. But I do think there is something to what you're getting at with like the future of comedy. I think a lot of the old heads are going to die off, as we've been kind of seeing, I think, personally. Like, you see a lot of, like, the Legion of Saints guys kind of rising up even more so. Just essentially the people that were kind of in that dangerous or safe dangerous, as Sam likes to say, type range. I think they're coming up. The old people that kind of were milquetoast are going to kind of die off. All the people that have Netflix specials, essentially, that's not going to last for too long. Like, we just said, what, Shane Gillis? Yeah, Shane Gillis, I think, had a Netflix special not too long ago. And he was on SNL. I think that's what I was thinking of, was the SNL. So it's like, I think they're essentially getting forced to actually maybe do quality there, as opposed to the black, gay, you know, fucking bisexual, whatever the fuck, you know, person that tells half-assed jokes that aren't even really that good. I do think there is something to that. But I don't think the in real life is going to die off. I don't know. I think that's part of the whole vibe, but I do think we're going to get quality over quantity here in the future.
Over time, I think it'll die off. Because, I mean, if you look at kids now, dude, most of them, they don't have a driver's license. They have no real want to get one. Like, my cousin's son, she's talking to him right now. She's like, Israel, don't you want to get your driver's license? He's like, no, I don't really care. Because he goes home, he plays on his VR headset. And that's what it was. We've changed over to cell phones. Like, I'm still from the generation of, I didn't have a cell phone until I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they just weren't available, especially in the mountains, no signal. But for him, he has all this stuff. And he's like, I don't really care if I get a driver's license or not. For me, I was there on day one. As soon as I was able to get my learners, boom, give me the test. Give me my learner's permit. I want to hit the road. So over time, these kids are going to grow up and they're going to be like, hey, can I just throw it on VR and watch the comedy show?
Yeah, is your nephew? Is he an urban or like urban environment or like a rural environment? Because I don't know. I mean, I have two kids. I have a 14-year-old and an 11-year-old, and I mean, my youngest 11-year-old is not even thinking about driving because she's 11. But my oldest is like very much excited about driving in the future. So I don't. But it's not like I hang out with a whole lot of kids. So I don't know. But we also live more rural. So
I mean, we're right in the mountains.
Oh,
you know, I mean,
weird.
You don't go anywhere without a car. You can't like walk to your friend's house, anything like that. That's so weird. He just stays home. There's a lot of kids like that now. It's wild.
Yeah,
and you know, he has his VR headset. He goes on, plays video games, and he just hangs out. That's about it. Now I'm getting ready to start taking him out because I have electric dirt bikes, I have electric bikes, scooters, and like a one wheel. I'm going to start taking him out to get him outside and riding those.
Yeah, that's probably, it sounds like he needs it.
He's pale. He's so white. He's transparent.
I mean, I don't, that's weird to me. I mean, not that my kids are like super go out. Well, my youngest kind of is, but my oldest is more of like a girly girl and, you know, likes to talk to her friends and blah, 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 socialize. But it's not like she's like an outdoorsy person or whatever, but yeah, I don't know. That's weird. But I also, me personally, I never really had video games or I don't know. It wasn't like a big thing, that kind of stuff, a big thing in our life. I think I've had I have a 360 that I literally had from high school, like an Xbox 360. I have not bought anything newer since then. I don't really have a desire to. Maybe like once or twice a year, I might fire it up and throw on UFC or Army of Two or some shit and just play for like 30 minutes and then get bored and then go back to doing actually something productive. So I don't know. That's just how
I am. Yeah, that's the way I am too, man. I don't do video games. I used to play a video game every now and again, but I'm just not into it. I bought a PlayStation 5, turned it on twice. I don't really like it. I have a VR headset, but I use that for engineering. Like with the different controls, I can take my 3D models, blow them up, twist them, see exactly where I need to be at. And that's helpful, but I don't ever play any video games on it.
Yeah.
Just not my thing.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't know what it is. I mean, just I never, even as a kid, like, I played probably maybe... When I was in like high school, I maybe played like once a day, maybe every other day, but even then it wasn't for long. And it was like after I'd done it, had a long day and I'm just kind of laying there in my bed, just kind of fucking off. And, you know, as a kid, I had nothing else going on in life. It'd be like after I just got back from my homie's house and smoked some weed and after soccer practice or whatever the fuck. And after working out when I had like maybe an hour before I was going to pass out for the next day. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was definitely the least of my priorities of the things I did in my life. So... But yeah, I don't know. I guess we have a new generation. I mean, maybe my kids are unique in that I didn't. They kind of took after me in that way. So I
don't know. Probably got them out too. You probably socialized them, got out. Like, let's go do this, let's go do that, instead of just letting them stay home and play video games.
Yeah. They're definitely more so. Yeah, my youngest is a little soccer phenom. She's already an age group up and as a girl in a co-ed league, and is probably like in the top three best players in her league. So she's a little badass, but that's all she does. She runs probably like 10 miles a week. Play soccer all the fucking time just for funsies, just because it's like, what the fuck else am I going to do? So, and that's good.
Well, you're going to, now you got to teach her to play against the boys. I'm a girl.
Well, she does. She's co-ed. It's a co-ed team. She's like,
really? Legit.
Yeah, she's probably like top three. One. She's literally probably like the third best player. And she was so good in her league, they jumped her up in a league because she was like, she's 11. I think there was like a 12 to 14 rec league, and they let her go to the 12 to 14 because she was just dominating her younger league. So it was like,
dude, that's awesome. Foster that as much as you can. So when Leah Thomas is like, I'll play soccer with you, she can still whoop his ass.
And it's funny too, because she is she's also like at the same time has a good head on her, and she knows like, I know when I get older, like, you know, the boys, like at a certain point when we get to a certain level of skill, I'm just not gonna be able to keep up. I'm still gonna dominate the girls, but for now, I'm just gonna dominate everyone. So.
Yep. But I mean, the boys her age that are playing, they're still kind of gay because they don't have that testosterone. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
I could see that. And then age gap or the physical gap when age comes, that's gonna be a big separator. So that's good, man. It sounds like you did a good job raising your girls.
I think I did all right. I like to think I did okay. I definitely fucked up here and there, but. I did want to get into what kind of brought you to mind was the recent shit with Matt Rife with the dude who, I guess it was like a comedy bit, is come to find out later, is they said that he like had sucked two dicks to get like one of his Netflix specials or to get famous or whatever. And that just got me thinking about like just kind of the blackmail stuff that was going on lately. A lot of stuff coming to light. I mean, we got the Diddy stuff that dropped, obviously Epstein, the Nickelodeon stuff came out recently. There's other stuff. I mean, I could probably go on, but I just think there's a larger big picture thing here to where it's like, and we were kind of riffing on comedy a minute ago, and like, you know, I think there is something to that. I mean, like, I don't know what I feel like, you know, who knows, maybe a few years from now, you know, 5, 10, we'll find out there may have been something similar in the comedy realm or something. I don't know what. Maybe they wasn't like to the extent of like Diddy type shit where it's like, all right, well, we got to do gay stuff to get to the top. I don't know what you got to do in comedy to get to the top, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's something similar like that. But I think it is breaking down. Obviously, to be clear, I don't think that Matt Rife is actually... I mean, maybe he is. I know he's got pretty lips, so maybe he is sucking dick to get Netflix specials. But
no, I think that for him, man. So, you know, I like Matt. I talk a lot of trash. I'm just goofing around. I'm like, oh yeah, Disney bad boy princess, and I goof on him and everything. But what comedian won? You know what I mean? So I think he's a good guy. And that joke about that guy, dude, it wasn't funny at all. That guy was just talking trash. And he come out and he apologized. I don't know if you saw the apology, but it wasn't funny one bit. Disrupted Matt's life. And then, of course, I always lean into it online. I'm like, dude, I've never sucked a dick. And, you know, like, so it's fun, but I like the guy. I don't think in comedy there's really that thing. I think more so of what we're seeing is the exposing of gatekeepers.
Yes.
Now, what they do on the gay side of it, or, you know, with kids or whatever, all this degeneracy. I mean, you've seen Diddy acting with or being around, was it Bieber? All these different things, man. It's gay and it's horrendous what they're doing. I don't think in comedy they're doing that. Comedians are known to speak out. You know what I mean? They're the ones speaking truth to power. I don't really see it happening in that field.
Yeah, I maybe some, but it's probably I do think you're probably right. It's more like gatekeeping, something along those lines. A good old boys club. It's probably a lot less official than the something, or I guess not official. A lot less fucked up as something like a Epstein or a fucking, I don't know, like a ditty. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's some sort of mechanisms in place where the people who say the right things, who don't offend certain people, who don't, who will run cover for certain things out there, do tend to rise, or used to rise to the top. But I do think that's breaking down. And I find that interesting. And I don't know if maybe it's just my perception. I guess you can correct me if I'm wrong. I guess with stuff like what you're doing with the Rife machines, I think we're seeing a resurgence in the old establishment dying, and the, and I guess new may not be an accurate way to describe what you're doing, because in some senses it's old concepts, but the you know, the true or the organic or the real rises to, is now starting to rise atop now that I guess. And I guess you probably, we probably could even connect this in a sense to like some of like the COVID stuff. I think people have lost their faith in the establishment in whatever way you want to understand that, whether that be medical, whether that be the elites in general. And so I think there might be something to that. I mean, I guess, you know, do you agree? Are you feeling that? I mean, obviously you see your sales, so you can probably tell statistically if that is really being felt right now.
Yeah, my sales, there's only a small way to judge this because, I mean, I'm springboarding off my great uncle Royal Rife. So that already put me ahead of the game. Luckily, I just really enjoy electronics and engineering. So I grew up doing this stuff on the side. It's just something I love to do. So I can't really base it off my sales. Plus, dude, I push hard every single day to get my name out more. Like, you see my Twitter account, I'm on other social media apps doing the same thing. I'm in DC right now. Before that, I was down in Florida, I was at Atlanta, and now I'm going to Dallas. So I push hard. So even my sales, I can't really go off of that, but I can tell you people are waking up to more and more of the science, and they're kind of seeing it like, okay, yeah, this, there must be something to this. Every day I get people telling me, oh, you're a snake oil salesman, this and that. I'm like, oh, whatever. You know, say whatever you want, but you will see what it is. So, but to your point, yeah, there's a lot of different things changing. We're seeing gatekeepers go down. We're seeing the move of Hollywood to, what is it, Austin area. I called this in 2018. Mm-hmm. I was like, Austin's going to be the next big city for movie production. Then you start seeing Texas doing all these tax cuts to come there and film. They have all this land available. Everything's cheaper there to produce a movie. And if you ever notice, movies follow comedians. Comedians are the basis of movies and entertainment, unless it's like some kind of drama stuff. But even then, you have a little bit of comedic, whatever, like side thing. But even their comedy's not really that great. I think we're seeing an overall like global reset on a lot of stuff. I'm excited for it. Like during COVID, people were like, oh, COVID was so horrible. I was like, COVID was amazing. Best thing ever to happen across the board. And it's not because people were scared or whatever. It's because that put them in a situation to wake up and start looking at things. Now we're seeing the resurgence of Alex Jones going everywhere because he's being uncensored. And everybody's saying, you put another dollar in Alex Jones's right jar. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff that people are waking up to, and I'm happy for it. People are starting to realize a little bit of the truth. I think there's something larger coming behind it, like way larger. May have to do with the red heifer, may have to do with aliens, could have to deal with both of them. But yeah, dude, yeah, there's a change coming. I don't like that part of it, because if there's a change coming, then we know that there's all these different things. Like, there's been a perfect storm for like the last, what, 6 years to break down our economy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just our entire supply chain, all the economies of every country. And I think it had to happen. I think all of this had to happen because if you add up all the debt that all the countries on earth are in, then it's more debt than what the globe or the earth, if flat earth, I don't really care. The land that we have, all the debt adds up to be worth more than all the land, even by their own measuring tools. So I think it's the economical system. It's breaking down. They're bringing in a new way. Now we have AI coming in, doing robots, all these different things. So people are getting ready to get universal basic income, which I think is Trump's going to push that. I think that he's going to be the Judas goat that comes in and pushes people towards the CBDC and universal basic income. I don't think it's going to be Joe Biden to do it. I think because, you know, it's always the people that they like lead them down the wrong path. Yeah. I've heard Owen Benjamin say this. There's been more gun restrictions up underneath Trump, and there's been more leniency on guns during Biden. Yep. So they're always the Judas goat. And yep. You know, I get it. If you really like what Trump speaks for, vote Biden. Mm-hmm. You know, if you like guns, vote Biden. If you like authoritarianism, you know, vote Trump.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of truth to it.
Yeah. A lot of people don't like to think of it that way. They just think, well, this is what Trump says, and if I vote for it, I get that. You're like, okay, retard. Like, thanks for paying attention. I do think there is something with the whole red heifer thing and stuff. I don't know how much you've dug into that, but I've been thinking for a while that perhaps, I mean, I could be wrong. This is a wild speculation. Maybe their Moshiach, which I don't know, the Jewish Messiah,
yeah,
very well might be Trump, because that's been a thing I've seen. Apparently there are corners that have been talking about that for a while, where I guess, and he was always super about Israel. And I know a lot of people have been like running, you know, been like, whoa, like, because he's kind of been like made some tepid like criticism of Israel. Like, he's actually surprisingly the best of the available candidates right now. Like, I mean, between Biden, RFK, and Trump, he's been the best on Israel. But it's not saying much. And it's also like, what is he going to do when he gets in?
So, what do you mean best? Like the most supportive of Israel?
Well, I meant, okay, I guess that was a little confusing. Because when he was in, he very much was supportive of Israel. And he's even made comments not probably too long ago about being supportive of Israel. What I mean in regards to, it's like probably how me and you would likely think. I would assume you're not a big fan of the rampant, you know, killing of fucking women and children. And I guess maybe the occasional Hamas individual somehow sneaks in there and actually dies over there in Gaza right now. He surprisingly has, I can't remember his exact comments recently, but he said something along the lines of like, oh, this is getting a little carried away. You guys need to wrap it up or whatever the fuck. Something along
those lines. Yeah, he said that you guys need to stop having the war because you're losing support globally.
Yep, exactly. Which, that's actually the only silver lining of this whole thing, in my opinion, is they're losing support globally. And I do think Trump is actually right in that sense of like, if you guys want to keep this this rigmarole going, you need to fucking chill. Because I do think if they end up going full on fucking, pull on, you know, scorched earth, which they kind of already are, I do think they're going to, it's not a good long-term game. But with this whole red heifer stuff and the Moshiach, it's like, well, their priority may not be the long run. It seems to be they're looking at the short run right now. And a big part of that is clear is what the Al-Maqsa, I can't even remember how to pronounce it. One of the mosques that's supposed to be their temple.
On Mount Olive?
Al-Aqsa. Yeah, I think, right? Yeah.
I don't know. Is it Mount Olive, the Muslim temple? Is that what you're talking about?
I think
the one that they have to sacrifice the red heifer on.
Yes. Yeah, it's also like a holy site. It's a Muslim holy site. Yeah. So it's like a lot of people don't realize that if and when they do that, that will basically spark probably a huge fucking war. That's a big deal. Yeah.
Every Muslim country on earth are just going full bore war. So I fully believe that Trump is who they're trying to usher in. Yeah. 100%. Donnie Darkened, right? Mm-hmm. I've been reading all his stuff. And, dude, the Israel, they keep on going to him and giving him things. They gave him a menorah not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a rise in all of this. And, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, the Antichrist to rise and to be the bringer of peace or something of that effect.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, it's wild. And, okay, so my girl's Jewish, and she doesn't even support Israel. She's like, it has no reason. There's no right to exist. And it's wild because she knows about all the Jewish culture and all this stuff. She's not a Zionist. And she's more in line with the things that, like you and I are talking about, the things that we see as being good and bad than what we actually see on the news. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get torn in between that because I know what this says and I know what that says. But whenever I brought this stuff to her about Trump, she's like, I've never seen this before in my life. And she was shocked about it because it all aligns. Mm-hmm. And I 100% believe that Trump is the one they're trying to usher in. Like, yeah, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. It seems like he's playing. Like, if you look at like support between him and Biden and such, it's like, it just seems like the perfect Messiah story or mm-hmm. Moshiach story or hero's journey or whatever you want to call it. Like, this guy, he got knocked out. Oh, now he's coming back. He's faced all this huge adversity and now he's going to be the underdog. Well, in a certain sense, not really being the underdog, at least in the sense of like support, you know, in the United States, he clearly has the support to win, but then everyone doubts whether he would be allowed to win. Now, obviously I do think there probably will be roadblocks thrown in his way, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if somehow he pulls it out and despite all this adversity, he comes back. Oh, he makes America great again. He brings Israel back to its glory and be like, hey guys, that was too much. Tries to bring it together. And you did bring up the aliens thing earlier. And I just finished my buddy, he's like my co-host now on the Ari Dead show I'm doing once a week, which is like a live stream. He's got a bunch of great content, and I listened to his Blue Beam Project episode. What a lot of people don't realize, a lot of people think Blue Beam, and they think, oh, just aliens. And it is like probably, you know, it might be part of it, but a lot of that is about like religion and the idea of coming in and essentially ushering in some sort of figure or entity that is supposed to unite while also simultaneously essentially making it seem like every other religion has been is either wrong or been misinterpreted or something along those lines, but then ushering in some sort of new age religion or something along those lines. And obviously this is all just some big caper they pull over everybody with, you know, the blue beam in the sky or whatever different little aspects of it. It's very detailed. People go look into that, I would suggest. I'm not going to do it justice. But like that got me thinking, like that plays in so well to this whole Moshiach or this whole storyline. Because I do think you're right on the COVID stuff and that like in a certain sense, one of the worst things that happened, but also in a certain sense, one of the best things because it did shake people up and, you know, opened a lot of people's eyes. It kind of is I've said many times, it's like the great bifurcation. It forced you to one edge or the other. You know, you're no longer able to be lukewarm. You need to either be hot or cold. And I think there is something now we're in this situation to where I think if they're going to pull off some high impact event of some sort to try to pull things back in, it'd have to be pretty fucking big. And so this would be aliens or some sort of huge religion thing or something or a combination that might be the ticket. I know a lot of people have been sketchy. I still think maybe it's possible they pull off some sort of OKC bomb part two or something. But even then, I'm like, I don't feel like that would be enough. I feel like there'd be too many people on the ground, researchers, too much decentralized information going out that shows almost immediately, like, guys, this is fucking bullshit. Like, come on. Like this is where we're at in this period of time where information travels so fast that it's borderline impossible unless you're willfully ignorant for the wool to be pulled over your eyes, like in that sense, you know?
Honestly, I think it's all one and the same. Mm-hmm. I think every bit of it's one and the same. So let's talk about religion for a minute. About like the truth or whatever on religion. Have you read the CIA D-Class, Adam and Eve?
I have not, no.
It's amazing. You have to read it. It talks about Hindu. It talks about Christianity, Muslim, Judaism, all these different religions. And it goes through each one of them. And then it says at the end, it pretty much boils down to not one of these religions are correct. They're all correct. Mm-hmm. Saying that we're in some kind of, I would call it like a weird human experiment. And then at the end, it just resets and starts all over again. Mm-hmm. That's the CIA D-Class. Now, aliens, right? Now, I think that we're headed towards war. I can not promise you. I fully believe that we're going to end up in a war. And she's snoring. we're headed towards something big, just like what you're talking about. But let's take the Bible first. At that point in time where it was written, the Bible talks about Jesus shall return riding on his white stallion, I think, or his white chariot or whatever. Okay, stallion. What was the best vehicle that you could have, the most prestigious vehicle back in that day when the Bible was written? It would be a stallion. Why is it white? Shining light, maybe. These are all the different things that we hear about a UFO. Who's to say that Jesus Christ is not an alien, doing things outside of the ordinary of human capability? Okay, alien possibly, sure. Different tech, sure. All of this stuff is quite plausibly that. Aliens, right? Now, have you followed Just Ashton on Twitter? The MH370 flight with the different orbs.
Little bit. I'll be honest, I was very underwhelmed the little bit I've looked into it. But I don't know, 'cause it's like I know the whole shtick with that is like, "Oh, look, here's this video," and it's like, "How do can you guys prove it's doctored?" 'Cause whatever, and it's like, for one, I feel like logically speaking, that's kind of like a bad place to start, kind of like it's almost like a prove me wrong type thing. Like, if anything, like it's on you to prove it. And it's like we're in a time where there's deep fakes, there's so much shit, and it's like I'm not a nerd, so if you're like going into like, "Oh, well, I don't think this could be edited," you're like, I don't, how the fuck am I supposed to take your word for it? I don't fucking
Yeah,
know. But either way,
the
go ahead.
special effects and everything, that's meaningless to me. The science
Yes.
behind it is what I like. And I've talked to Ashton about this and everything that he brings up. I'm like, yeah, it's totally plausible. For one, you can see the electromagnetic field on the polarities, one pulling, one pushing. And he's talking about this has to be ran through AI to be able to have this certain 120 degrees out of phase for each orb. And then at the end, you see the electromagnetic fields pull in and they just boom, and that's whenever the plane disappears. There's a lot into this that would be scientifically plausible, and I could see it working exactly like that if this, is 100% true. I fully believe it's true, to be honest with you.
I don't have a strong
And
opinion either way. I wouldn't be surprised if it's true, but I just like,
yeah, so
okay, I
look at
guess,
our
yeah.
AI. Look at AI and what we see. They've been running AI for years, dude. Why wouldn't the government already have like a substantial AI to figure out all of these different things on throwing off gravitational waves or throwing off the electromagnetic spectrum to be able to fight against gravity? Now, this is AI that we're talking about. Maybe they haven't hit that event horizon to where there's no turning. Maybe they have. I don't really know. But I do believe that they have a better AI than what any of us know about. They're only putting public restrictions in on it because now it's reached the public. They've already had it. So that goes back into aliens, right? Alien tech. Okay, you can call it alien tech, or maybe it's just AI. That's alien to me. Now, okay, so again, I like the science and everything behind this, and I believe that we're headed towards war. And I sent a comment to Ashton earlier talking about this. Our country. We are pushing the limits on every war front that there is, right? Now, Mount Olive, this Muslim sacred or holy ground where they have to do the red heifer thing at. Yeah, I think that they're going to totally blow it up and they're ready to fight the Muslims because they have tech like this. Now, they're keeping everything to a point to where we have to have boots on the ground, more like analog war, like what it was. But since we have all this tech, I think that they're ready just for something to pop off and boom, it's all out there in the open and we decimate. And I don't like any of it, to be honest with you, but that's just the way our government works. They're warmongers. Everybody during January 6th, I'm not surprised of everything that's happened to them. And I've told the shaman himself, I'm like, yeah, dude, it's stupid for you to go in. You're going up against war criminals. You think they're going to go easy on you because of laws? So I think it all ties in. And as soon as this thing pops off, that the United States will come in and just decimate with everything that we have. And it's going to be all this new tech.
And I don't know, I hope people are ahead of it, because I do, I mean, I think possibly, depending on how these things unfold. I mean, yes, I get these people have a heightened technology, and but at the same time, it's like you look at how COVID unfolded, and I don't know. These are not impressive people. These are unimpressive people with impressive things is kind of what it is. Yeah. So it's like, and there are the occasional impressive person there that is trying to coordinate things. But at the end of the day, it's kind of what was it? It's kind of the same idea as the economic calculation problem when it comes to like communism. It's like if you have like a few evil fucking geniuses who are trying to coordinate a bunch of fucking like unimpressive evil people or just useful idiots. It's like you get to a point where it's like, how well are you really able to coordinate this? I mean, obviously, this is what a lot of people point to when you try to be like, there's no way conspiracies can happen. You're like, I still think conspiracies can happen. But I think a lot of times flaws, you know, bugs end up in the system that they're trying to implement. Things fuck up. It doesn't work the way they want it to. We have people like me and you that are kind of, you know, putting thorns in their side and fucking things up along the way and getting people along the way to kind of open their eyes and create like essentially another population that's not going along with it. And I think maybe, I mean, yes, there, you know, as you said with COVID before, this could also in a certain sense also be the best thing ever while also being the worst thing ever. Cause I think, yeah. You know, this will only further this bifurcation to where it's like, you really got to shit or get off the pot, one or the other. Are you going towards tyranny? Are you coming over this way? What are you doing? Like, and I think we may be seeing that. I don't know. I'm very much talking to my ass. I don't know what the fuck is going to happen in the next year or so. I think some big shit's going to happen for sure. Yeah. Seems like every week there's something big happening. We're getting to the point where huge shit happens and we're just like, okay.
I think that's what it's all for. So whenever you have a great reset like this on what they talk about, and if there's going to be a huge change on, you know, just like whenever we had the Industrial Revolution, if we're going through something like that again, you have to get people used to this. And in psychology, you learn that humans are naturally like, how do you say this? They refuse to change. We don't like change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for example, go sit down with somebody to dinner. And, you know, the first thing most people do, they unroll their silverware, they put their napkin in their lap, and they arrange their silverware. Mm-hmm. Reach over and move somebody's fork from one side to the other. First thing they're going to do, they're going to move it back. Mm-hmm. Right? We don't like change instinctively. Go into somebody's cubicle or office or just even there in your room. Do you have a trash can close to you? Okay, if you did, you'd get used to where it is. Mm-hmm. Now, let me go in there and move your trash can. Dude, you're going to move it right back. We don't like change. So if you start creating chaos and you start creating like what I call a scalar system, scalar means just randomized. If you create a scalar system and people start getting used to this, it's NLP, it's neuro-linguistic programming. The more that you're used to this and being indoctrinated into change and the more you're getting used to it, that's when you can throw in the big guns and not everybody freaks out. Mm-hmm. So it's slowly increasing on, oh, well, we just have to do a straight 6 years of constant, you know, distraction and pulling you this way and this way and this way. It's the same way you train a dog to walk on a leash. You want them looking at you. So you'll walk with them and then you turn without warning. Then you turn without warning. That way they know it's not the leash that's directing them. It is them having to pay attention to you. And I feel like the U.S. government's done that same thing. And I think that's what we're headed towards. So there is going to be something big. I think there's going to be a war. I think a bunch of innocent people are going to die. And I think it's consistent with everything we've seen across the board, as in predictions and the Bible, religion, just everything. I got to stop her snoring really quick. Well, give me 1 second.
You're good. Well, all right, guys. All right, he's back.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Oh,
sorry.
You're good. I just had to make some sound for the audio listeners the later this goes out, so they're not like, what the fuck? Yeah, I guess let's change gears a little bit. Let's get to the Rife stuff. Let's start, I guess, kind of what's the origin of this? I mean, I know I've heard it a few times. Mm-hmm. I do want to get into the meat of it. I want to kind of get into, like, how the fuck this shit works. But let's start with the origin. I know some of the audiences might be useful for them, so they know where this is coming from. And we alluded to it a little bit earlier. You were building off your uncle, but I guess just kind of maybe extrapolate a little bit from there, dig a little bit deeper. You know, what kind of the origins of this machine, And we'll kind of, you know, work our way from there.
So in the 1920s, there was an inventor, a scientist, a Dr. Royal Raymond Rife. And, I mean, obviously he was born before the 20s, but he worked with Nikola Tesla and all these other scientists. Back in the day, scientists worked together on many different things to try to help better their experiments, their future, and to be able to help humanity out. And I think these were the best humanitarians of our entire history, because they did things and they pushed the limits and the boundaries, and they worked together and they didn't let greed get in their way. So Dr. Royal Raymond Rife and Nikola Tesla, they were sitting around a campfire one night, having a cigar, drinking some whiskey, and they were just brainstorming. And they started thinking about, well, you know, we're carbon-based electrical beings. That's how our brain communicates with our body. That's how our body communicates. That's how we operate, is through electrical synapse. So why don't we use electricity to help boost the body up and help it heal disease, and to be able to encourage your body, to be able to assist your body. So why don't we use electricity as medicine? So, and you know, both of them thought it was a great idea. They both started working on their own things. And this is where Nikola Tesla's multi-wave oscillator come from, if you've ever seen that. And this is when Roy started working on it. And this was the beginning of what has been branded to be called the Rife machine. And it's an electromagnetic frequency wavefield generator. Now, Roy did a lot of tests with this. A lot of his tests were successful. Like, he used to experiment on lab mice. He would take the bacillus virus, the cancer virus, inject it into rats, and then he would run the Rife machine on it. And every single test, every single trial he did on the cancerous rats, they were all successful, every single one of them. So the American Medical Association, Morris Fishbein was the founder, and he was looking to sponsor some people to help fight disease. And he sponsored Dr. Royal Raymond Rife, and he also sponsored the Rockefellers. Well, the Rockefellers found out they could make medications out of petroleum. And this was, that would ease symptoms, but it would cause side effects. And you could make more medications out of petroleum to get rid of those side effects and those symptoms, and it continually goes. So, you know, the best customer is a return customer. They're not there to cure anything. They're there to treat stuff. Mm-hmm. And by the way, I'm not a doctor. These are not medical claims. I'm just telling history. So the American Medical Association went with the Rockefellers at the end of the day. Well, during the same time, when they sponsored Roy, Roy started a tuberculosis and cancer clinical trial that was run by a doctor. Royal didn't go in and, you know, treat the patients themselves. He had to stay away from it a little bit. And so the doctor would administer the EMF generator. They used to call it Rife's generator or Rife's frequency machine. And he was running this on tuberculosis and cancer patients, and the FDA ended up signing off that Roy's machine cured eight cases of cancer. We don't know how many cancer patients were in there. We know that there were more cancer patients than tuberculosis patients, so there was at least 9. And so he cured 8 of them, and the FDA signed off on it. Well, that's not the most profitable business model. If you own the AMA, you want a return customer. So after AMA went with the Rockefellers, they burnt down Roy's lab. They took everything they could out of it first. It was in California. And they took all of his notes, the universal microscope. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, yeah, Royal was a quack and a snake oil salesman. Well, he invented the numbers 1 through 5 microscopes that are still used to this day. He was the first human to ever see a live virus with the naked eye, because him and John Crane created a universal microscope that would go into 60,000 times magnification, 60,000 time magnification. So Royal was able to see it, and people still call him a quack, even though he is the patent holder or owner for the actual light that goes beneath the tray of a microscope to light it up underneath. Like, it just freaking genius. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they discredited his machine. After they burned his shop down, Roy said, you know what? I'm going to build this myself. I don't need them. And he went to five different factories. Each time he would go to one, they would pick it up and say, yeah, we'll build these for you. And then they would just out of nowhere, turn it down, turn away from them, and never deal with them again. After the fifth one, they ended up making like 15 of what the Blu-ray device, and that's Rife machine. And then they ended up getting shut down, and I think that the factory ended up burning down as well. But so Roy was like, I'm done with this. I'm leaving the country, taking my machine with me. And he did. He went down to Mexico. He was working there, and his old business partner, John Crane, kept on working with all this stuff in the U.S., in the United States, and he ended up getting put on trial. He was the only one that stayed here in the U.S. He got put on trial to build, like, because they were suing him. You can't do this. You know, I think they was threatening him with prison, all kinds of stuff. Roy wouldn't come back to the States at the time. So all of this knowledge and everything got suppressed for many, many years. Well, John also kept a copy of lab notes. He kept a lot of extensive copies of all the notes. And after Royal died, the Crane family gave all this stuff over to my side of the Rife family, to my grandfather. I didn't know Royal was famous, man, not one bit. I just grew up, I liked electronics. And, you know, my poppy would teach me stuff on it. Like, hey, can we see Uncle Roy's notes? And he would teach me things. I always enjoyed it. And then, you know, like I was saying, whenever I was 18, I got a cell phone. Started looking up, you know, like my name, looked up my mom and dad, ended up looking up Royal Rife. And I was like, dude, I know what this is. Look at this. This is his machine. It's his frequency generator. I was like, that can't be him. Like, he's everywhere, all over the internet. And so I call him. I'm like, hey, Poppy, is this Uncle Roy? Like, he's like, yeah. He said, listen, don't ever mess with this. You know, you're a smart kid. You need to just live, work hard, love your family, love everybody, do the best you can for everyone, and you'll die happy and fulfilled. You know, granted, my grandfather, he's a wise man, and he knows about health and everything. He's 93 years old, still alive to this day. Him and I were actually born on the same day, which was pretty awesome. I'm the youngest grandchild, share a birthday with my grandfather. And so I listened to him until 2020 happened. When 2020 happened, I saw so many people that were just in fear, and they started hating other people, and they just had disdain for anybody and everybody that was getting close to them. It really enraged me. So I decided to make a couple of them. And yeah, I made a TikTok account, posted a video really quick about, hey, here's this and this, and how do I know this? Well, I'm Matthew Rife. Royal was a relative of mine. I'm going to, you know, build a proper Rife machine. The people started beating down my door, like not physically, but, you know, they were like, hey, let me get a machine. And I was only going to build a couple of them and put them out. And it just turned into a full-blown business. So heeding the words of my grandfather on loving people, doing the best I can for everybody, there's no way that I couldn't just not do this. I had to do it. So it just turned into a full-blown business. And I mean, I love what I do. It's stressful at times, but I'm ready to bring it all back. And one of the biggest things I have to combat is the way that they've ruined my family's name over the years. So there's all this speculation about what the Rife machine is, what it does, because there's been multiple people over the years to make claims. Then, you know, they're like, I know what a Rife machine is, and this is how it works. It'll do this. It'll do, you know, A, B, and C. And to be honest with you, even Royal's notes, it didn't do A, B, and C. There's a lot of misconceptions, so I try to straighten that out. I'm very transparent and honest with customers. And, you know, I offer like a 30-day money-back guarantee, no questions asked, because I want to make sure it's right for people. And to be able to earn people's trust, or my family name to earn trust to people, I have to be very trustworthy. And so, well, maybe not me personally, my business has to be trustworthy.
Yeah.
Because I talk a lot of trash, you know, online.
Yeah.
I don't care if people trust me or not, just as long as they trust the equipment and understand the business is going to do what's right and stand by what I say, what's going to happen, the rules that are set in place. So, I mean, we're in a really good place now. We've seen a lot of great success on things. I'm working with a couple of different people now on a long string of clinical trials we're able to run through. And after I get those done and use what the FDA calls their rules, and, you know, the FDA is not, okay, the rules are not all bad, because just like we were talking about, there are snake oil salesmen out there that will lie to you. So, but they make it really hard for people who have something legitimate. And it takes time. I'm going to play by their rules. I'm doing a lot of different things to where I can be FDA approved. Now, I also teach doctors. I hold different classes throughout the week on Zoom calls and Google Meets, and I answer doctors' questions. I teach them about different things, because sadly, whenever the AMA went with the Rockefellers, they went to all the educational institutions. They said, stop teaching naturopathic, stop teaching holistic, stop teaching herbs and things of this nature, teach our way instead. And that's how all of this come about. Now a lot of people are seeing, oh, your doctor was pushing the mRNA shot because they got paid a ton of money. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of doctors that push vaccines. They get paid more by the pharmaceutical companies for giving those vaccines than what they make as a salary of being a doctor. It's ridiculous. It's a totally backward system. So I'm trying to just flip it back on its head and give power back to the people.
Hell yeah. I think it's kind of, you know, it's I guess prescient that we started out this conversation with talking about a little bit of, well, maybe not start out, but a little bit early on in the conversation, we were talking about like gatekeeping. I'm kind of curious if you felt any real adversity. And the reason why I'm tying this to gatekeeping is because I think now we're in a position to where there is the technology and, you know, and all sorts of things have gotten to a point to where you may not need to go through these, you know, you're probably more able to, pull this thing from Amazon, that thing, as opposed to having to go to like a factory or getting some sort of like big, manufacturing process or whatever. You're able to more bootstrap it, or it's more of like a decentralized thing than a just like a centralized, here I go to this factory or through this corporation or whoever. So I guess I'm kind of wondering, have you been seeing any sort of adversity like your uncle did back in the past? I suspect maybe a little bit, but probably nowhere near what he did, obviously, because of those reasons, because we're getting to the point to where, you know, society has gotten to a place to where we're kind of able to bypass it more so.
I haven't had any like adversity from the powers that be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biggest thing I've had is I've had a call from a 3-letter agency warning me about giving free electricity away and generating electricity, or just giving it all away. And they said it's because I would upset the world economy. And I get it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think the economy is the most important thing in the world, because I don't care about control over other people, and they obviously do, and that's a control mechanism. But I don't want people to get hurt either, right? So I don't want to upset the world economy to where people do get hurt. And I know that would be that's what would end up happening. Even on my stuff, I would actually put out different plans and everything for everyone to see. But then if you don't do everything exactly right, because there is a very, very exact science to everything I'm doing. Like even just if the coil size is off by half a millimeter, it could do some really bad things. So I have to be very, very, you know, careful with this. And if I put plans out and I encourage people to do this themselves, and, you know, they end up developing a heart arrhythmia or dying, dude, I'd never live with myself. I'd never be able to. Not only that, but I do have to make a living. Mm-hmm. So I run the business and I provide jobs for multiple families, which I'm very, very proud of. I probably run one of the most socialist companies in Virginia that there is. And I say that because, you know, people, boomers are still in the state of mind of authoritarianism. Mm-hmm. And they're like, do what I say or you're out of here. And they manage by fear. I'll jump in at any time and help my guys out. You know, I know I'm still their boss, and they still, you know, they show me respect and everything, but I goof around with them, joke around with them. You know, they're good guys, and I'm happy to be able to provide a family for them. And out, right out the gate, dude, I give people 5 days sick time, because if they're sick, I don't want them to come into work. And this is a manufacturing job, because I do all my manufacturing in-house. And I hired two guys not too long ago. And Tater, one of the guys, he was sick. He come in sick. In fact, I'm here in D.C., and I was just sick the other day because of him. So I'm going to go back and nut check him when I get back, because I don't want him at work. And I told him, I said, dude, go home. If you're sick, don't be here. And he had told my assistant that he was worried about losing his job if he had to leave, because he just started. And I was like, no, dude, listen, everybody gets sick days. Please use your sick days if you're sick. Don't abuse it. Like, if you start becoming sick, like every week, like one day a week, I know there's something up there, and we're going to sit down and we're going to have a talk. And that's probably all it'll be, to see if we can get it straightened out, because I don't want to take people's jobs away. So I pay my employees well. I'm getting ready to institute like performance bonuses, because the more performance I can get out of them, the more focus. And I want to incentivize that and foster something that's encouraging for them to do more. And a lot of it's going to be dependent upon teams, which will bring in teamwork, camaraderie with people, and it'll just help families out overall. And the more that they do, the more I can lower my prices to where I can get this stuff in everybody's homes. Mm-hmm. So that's what I mean by like one of the more socialist companies out there.
Yeah, I got you. I guess kind of one last question. I would like to kind of, if you could, maybe just kind of like a quick rundown of, not necessarily like the science specifically, but kind of like, as I said earlier, bro science, just kind of like make this make sense for me, because I know it kind of works off frequency. So how does that tie into somehow helping the body along? How can you get this message to my audience of how there are medical benefits for the different frequencies that the Rife machine produces? And when you say frequency, and I know you've said before this is like a frequency machine of some sort, are we talking like you literally audibly hear it, or is it like sort of like a wow, 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 something like that? Or what are we talking about here?
Okay, let's start from just the beginning. We are carbon-based electrical beings. We have electrical synapse. Whenever we have a thought, there's a synapse that runs through our brain. And stub your toe and you'll have electrical feedback, that synapse going from toe to brain, whatever, communication, right? So now let's talk about frequency and resonant frequency. Think of like this bottle right here has a frequency to it. There is a resonant frequency. Think of it as a wine glass. Now, an opera singer, she can sing and match the resonant frequency of that wine glass. These are sound waves. They travel. You can't see them. And the way sound works is atmosphere. It's compression, decompression as it rolls throughout. So her resonant frequency is going to hit this glass and it's going to make it oscillate. It's going to move at the same pitch because it's resonant frequency. It's communicating with it. Now, if she ups her amplitude enough to where it's shaking so violently that it'll just shatter, right? Now, EMFs, they travel like sound waves. You can't hear them. And it doesn't require atmosphere to do it. So think of sound waves traveling, but this is pure electrical energy. You get EMFs off of power lines whenever you're up underneath of them. These are very high frequency EMFs. They're not good for the body. And this is the reason people that live up underneath power lines are more prone to cancer. And it charges your body to the point to where it's just unhealthy. So in each one of our body cells, there's a perfect electrical charge that we have. And correct me if I'm wrong, anybody in the comments, 70 millivolts, right? That's the perfect charge of the body. You go below that, that's where you have disease, you have sickness. And when you go above that, Uncle Roy used to inject the bacillus virus into pork flesh and electrify it so that the tumors would grow faster. So then he could use his machine and watch them die off. Now, what he would do is he would run resonant frequency to these tumorous cancer cells, and he would make them oscillate to the point that the proteins would not align. If the proteins do not align, it's dead. And your body produces it out as waste through your lymphatic system. And if it does split off, it's a daughter cell. It's dead. And your body produces it out as waste through your lymphatic system. Good so far? Okay.
Yeah.
Bacteria in your body, it has a thinner like cell membrane than a healthy body cell. So if you run EMFs that travel through the air and it attaches, this power attaches to something that has a resonant frequency, it's going to send that electrical synapse through the body, right? So if you have bacteria in your lungs, let's run a frequency for lungs, and the EMFs are going to attach to like inner lining of your lungs or in your lungs, and it's going to flow throughout, and it's just going to make that bacteria burst. It's going to electrify it, and it's just going to make it break open and die. And there's video of this that's on YouTube. There's multiple different things to show that all of this is provable. In fact, the U.S. government does, they give grants to schools and they sponsor school science systems to be able to delve into this and find new data on things like this. And then as soon as they find out one new thing, boom, jerk their funding. Let's go to the next school and let them find out something too. This is compartmentalization. So they don't want people to know this. So I've collected a lot of different clinical trials that are on PubMed and also nationalinstituteofhealth.gov, and they're on my website where people can read through them and show them what the government actually knows and what they're not telling you about. That tell you, go get an mRNA shot instead of doing something that you have clinical trials for, which they paid for, which you paid for, which I paid for out of taxes. Mm-hmm. Now, because of this, we have a lot of data with it, and we have provable data to show that it works. And okay, do we have a pretty good understanding of how this is working so far? Mm-hmm. Okay, now let's talk about the millivolts. The millivolts all together. You don't want lights around you that, you know, you don't want LEDs everywhere. LEDs, I mean, there's some good ones, but LEDs are light emitting diodes that it's an electron that's flowing through it. And then, you know, you just see a spark. That's the reason you get like a video throw up on videos that you're filming with LED lights. It looks like it's flickering. And that's what that is, because it's just electrons flowing at a different rate versus shutter speed. Mm-hmm. Now, you want to get your body to a targeted voltage, 70 millivolts per body cell. And dude, you're in amazing shape at that point. But first, you need to be able to let this electrical synapse be able to flow throughout your body. Inflammation is the cause of disease, right? So it acts as a resistor in your body. If you have inflammation, that electrical charge is slowed down whenever it hits that inflammation. Your body can't communicate correctly. So let me take one of my Rife machines. Let me provide that electrical energy. Let me target where the synapse needs to go. Now your brain says, oh, wait, something happened. We inflamed to protect ourselves. And now we're communicating. We must be in good shape. Let's reduce that inflammation. So now you have better blood flow. Now you have communication. Your dis-ease is going away. Not only that, but the Rife machine can structure water that's inside your body. You have different water molecules that are in the earth. And yeah, I'm sure you've drinking out of natural springs. Mm-hmm. And it's really good water. You stay hydrated. And that's because water is affected by the Earth's electromagnetic field. And it has a structure to it on the alignment of water molecules. This is the only water that can hydrate your mitochondria inside your body, that can penetrate all of the cells and be able to hydrate your healthy body cells. Water like this that I'm drinking, you know, water holds memory. This has been taken away from the Earth's electromagnetic field. It has been destructured from what it should be naturally that the earth provides. And, you know, now we have different clumps of water molecules stuck together. And whenever you drink this is the reason water is just so clumpy and it goes right down to your gut and you don't get that hydrated off of it. You need structured water. Well, I can structure the water with the Rife machine and bring that EMF energy back to it, realign it, and then I drink it. And then it disappears like in the back of your throat. It just instantly absorbs and it hydrates you. And so, well, it's just another key aspect, but these frequencies, water holds this electrical frequency to it. And this goes into your system and you start getting healthier because your body can now harvest this electrical energy and put it into your healthy body cells. So there's so many different benefits, man. And okay, like we've been seeing people's gray hair turn dark again because it's a dead hair follicle. That's the reason it's gray. Now we're bringing life back to it. So we've seen this across the board. And, you know, we're seeing people with rheumatoid arthritis that, you know, like their RA, the nodules are going down and their joints are starting to pop back in place and they're able to walk again. So, I mean, there's just so much, and it's amazing watching all of this. Now, the bad part about where we're at, and I'm doing this totally different than what Roy did, because we live in a different time. We live in a different, you know, way of life. He used all hardware. He would use things like spark gaps and, you know, his own resistors that he would make. And then he used something that's called plasma cell technology, which he would take quartz tubes. And he used to go to radio and TV builders or tube builders. And he had them make a tuned quartz tube. He filled it full of noble gas. And then he would run his electricity through it at a different Hertz rating to, you know, create like lightning, like it's those little plasma balls that you get from Spencer's. That's a plasma cell. That would emit the EMF. We don't need that now. We have better math. I was able to come up with a design for the coils. Somehow, this was a happy accident. After I figure out how to wind this, because you have to hit a crossover on each frequency from 0 to 20,000. That probably means nothing to anybody. I'm sorry. Anyway, I figured out how to wind it. And because we do have better math. And I designed my own special wire that I have to pay to get manufactured. You know, it's a proprietary wire to help out with my terminating impedance and just the vortex torsion technology, the resistance that I have in the wire to be able to make this flow correctly. So we have all these different things that I can utilize. I was able to bring it up more up to date. And now we're using a phone app and we're using a hard coil that you don't have to replace the noble gas. More compact, better design, but I do not use high frequency like what Royal did, because his stuff today, I believe, would contribute to people getting cancer. I think it would contribute to people, you know, having disease in their body. I think it would contribute to old age, because we live in a world now that's full of cell phone signals, that's full of Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, you know, 5G, 4G, even 900 megahertz. You know, 900 megahertz was the first cell phone band. We saw a major sickness come out at that point. In fact, every cell phone band that they open up, each one of them, we've seen a new sickness every time it opened, even just this last one. You know, what did we get? We got 5G and COVID. I don't think it's made in the lab. I think I've looked at the Raman spectrometry report. I've researched a lot of it. And it looks like a modulated form of the H7N9 influenza virus. And the H7N9 influenza virus has the same congestion of the lungs. It has the same scarring of tissues. So I think that's what it was. And so I can't use high frequencies because it would be a contributing factor to this. I use all of Earth's natural frequencies that you can get from nature. So like 10,000 hertz, you have deer that stand out in the middle of the field on a bright and sunny day. And they're not out there just so a hunter can shoot them. They're not out there just to hang out in the sun because they do it. They do it purposely. You'll get 10,000 hertz from the sun if you're out butt naked and letting the sun beat down on your naked body. And this will detox you. 10,000 hertz is a detox frequency. That's why deer are out there. Now, if you and I go to the beach, dude, I can't afford to go to the beach every day. I don't even want to go to the beach every day. But if you ever notice how everyone feels amazing at the beach because they're grounding. Mm-hmm. And you know, they're also getting 10,000 hertz from the sun, plus they're gaining, you know, around about 8,000 more hertz just from the ocean spray going into the air and the sun ionizing and structuring that water, and that's hitting you, and you're absorbing these frequencies. So you're getting around 18,000 hertz while you're out there, and you feel amazing. You have tons of energy. You're having a good time. You're not tired until you leave and you go home. Then you're just wiped out. Well, I have it on demand. I have it through a Rife machine. I can turn on 18,000 hertz. So, and I mentioned that because grounding. Now, we have all the cell phone stuff that we went over, and we know, you know, that there are bad frequencies. Well, whenever you're born with a bunch of negative ions in your body. This is a reason a kid can wake up and just be ready to go and doesn't need coffee. Mm-hmm. It's the reason that when they get hurt, they heal so much faster than what you do when you get older. And they have so much more energy, and they're just happier. They are full of negative ions. Ionization of water and consuming that is a real thing. This is all backed by science. Well, because we're so just, we have so much concentrated, like overly charged EMFs and radio signals and everything around us, these are positively charged ions that are entering our body. This causes inflammation. Whenever you ground, the earth is a ground negative. So it's sucking positively charged ions out of your body into earth. And you have a certain voltage in your body, like what we was talking about. And your voltage is, it's just a fancy word for pressure. So 72 volts has like a certain amount of pressure. We have a certain voltage in our body. So when it sucks an electron or a positively charged ion out of our body, it donates an electron that's a negative charge to your body. So that's better for your health. You feel better. So on the beach, you're doing that as well. And I can't go out there and do that every day, but the Rife machine, it'll negatively ionize your body. It gives you negative ions to where you become healthier. So, I mean, these are just more ways that, you know, it's all these things together that make you feel better and to help your health. And that's the reason as of right now, I'm not FDA approved because I don't have any clinical trials. I've been working my butt off just because it's in such high demand. Like, I don't need the FDA approval to get the name out there, use it as a marketing tactic. I'm going to get it done so that I can possibly move into medical devices at this point. But, you know, this is just a general wellness device. I don't want anybody that buys it, if you don't like it, dude, I don't want you to have to keep it. Send it back to me. I'll send somebody else that I appreciate it or that it'll work for. Like foot massagers. Foot massagers don't work for everybody. Some people don't like it. But I can tell you my returns are less than 0.5%. And that should speak for itself right there.
Hell yeah. Well, I think we've given enough for my audience to chew on. I think there's a lot there. I am very interested in it for sure. But you want to let my audience know where they can find you at, you know, where they can get a Rife machine, or where they can find you on Twitter, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So I am on Rumble, Real Rife Technology. I'm uploading a video right now of my latest presentation of down in Clearwater, Florida. It has a lot of information on it. You guys can see testimonials. I am on Twitter at Rife Technology. The business account is Rife_technology. You can follow that too. Mine's way more fun unless you don't like trash talk. And my website is realrifetechnology.com. You can schedule a consultation to talk to myself or a wonderful employee I have named Amber with medical degrees to be able to just to talk to us one-on-one and find out if this is right for you or even if it's not. So you can hit me up at any of those places. Happy to have anyone follow along or talk to anybody.
Hell yeah. You were in Clearwater recently? That's like 30, 45 minutes away from me. So
yeah, I was down there doing presentations. I didn't know you was down there. I would have invited you over to it. Yeah, the presentations.
Yeah, I live like 45 minutes south of Tampa. So I live in that rough area. So yeah, if you're ever okay. In that way, holler.
Yeah, I'll be back down there again soon.
All right. You weren't at the Sam Tripoli event here recently, were you?
No, I had to leave. I left on the 25th, and I was going to fly back down to go to Sam's show, but dude, I had to come to disgusting DC. Like, I wish I was there, but I had to come to DC. I will be back down at Clearwater soon. I have some business to take care of down there. Yeah. So whenever I come down, I'll hit you up.
Hell yeah, you picked up some positive ions while you're over there in DC.
yeah, too many of them. Yep.
But just a little hint though. I don't know if you've heard the word, but I'm pretty sure I think here in October We're probably going to do another one of those events, Bohemian Grove, and I think it's going to be bigger. I think I have a feeling this might become like a thing, like a regular thing. So
yeah.
So I, apparently it went really well. I wasn't able to make it out to that. It was my kid's first game of the season for soccer, and they're on Saturday, so I wasn't able to do it. But I'll, you know, almost certainly, I'm 99.9% sure I'll be at the October one. Probably try to get the whole Tower Gang out there. So it'll be a good time. We're talking about going even bigger, like I said, bigger names. But yeah, so for my audience, I guess, you know, keep that in mind. I believe what, Summerfield? That's 6 months out.
I wonder how I can help sponsor that. Yeah, do you know?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a way.
I would definitely want to. And you know what? I saw your lectern behind you up on the wall by Lectern Leader.
Oh, yeah. That's me. Let me turn a little bit for those. Yeah, there you go.
Dude, I'm gonna start doing this. Did you saw the Dick Taser, the Dazer?
Yeah.
Did you see the Vajazer?
Yeah, I saw that one too, yeah.
I got another one coming up. I think I'm going to start doing this just so your audience knows, because Lectern Leader, that he doesn't – it's really awesome that he builds these, and he also puts them out on eBay to sell, and he takes all that money and sends them to a good cause. I think I'm going to start doing the tasers, and I'm going to donate them to him for him to sell and to be able to use that money for good causes as well. So I should I'll send you the next one that I make so you can have it and hang it right next to that or wherever you want to put it. But yeah. I think it'd be good.
Fuck yeah, he lives. I've seen him at an event in this area too. He lives near me, I think, somewhere in this general area. Me and him need to hang out at some point. But yeah, I guess I'll respect your time, get out of here. Stick around after. I do want to chat with you real quick. But for my audience, if you want to follow me, this is on YouTube, all the major Arbuckers, Rumble as well. This is No Way Jose. Follow me on Twitter at Tower Gang Jose. If you want to support me, patreon.com, No Way Jose 2020. Like, share, subscribe, comment, all that gay shit. And with that, we are out.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.